Blog Talk Radio.
This is Dorian Wallace.
This is Raina Starr. Welcome to Desperate House Witches. Before we get started, Desperate House Witches is not a G, PG, or even an R-rated show. So if bad language, dirty talk, bodily functions, and any other foul thing I might say will offend you, this may not be the place for you. However, if that's okay, stay right here. We're going to have a great hour. Desperate House Witches is brought to you by the one, the only, the incredible Wicked Witch herself, the amazing Dorothy Morrison. Check out www.wickedwitchstudios.com. And for international shipping, check out theangrycauldron.com. Okay, y'all, I'm just going to tell you, you need to get this book. It is called Urban Magic, a Guide for the City Witch, and today's guest is author Diana Rachel. Hey, Diana.
Yeah. Hey. Hello.
Hello. So nice. Okay, so I'm just going to just jump right in here. So I moved recently from a sort of suburban location to more of the city part of Charlotte. And, oh, my gosh, there's so many things that you talk about in the book. I'm experiencing a little more than I would have without the book, because ever since we moved, and I'm going to ask you what you think about what I'm going to tell you anyway, but like I have been not feeling settled in. I moved here in October, and I keep feeling like, not that I don't belong where I am now, but something is stopping me from relaxing into it and just enjoying this fantastic space as much as I should be. Do you know what I mean? It's like something is stopping me from settling in and really enjoying it. Is it a spirit thing I have to do, or is it something else?
Okay, on an intuitive level, okay, so I'm guessing that when you moved, you did the things like you set up your house ward, you talked to, like, and everyone's practice is different. And I did frame this so that there isn't any specific religious or religious tradition anchored to this kind of work. But those are part of our lives. Those are part of what makes our lives better when that is something that's part of it. So just a couple due diligence questions, and maybe, you know, just as obvious as hell or not. So I know because you practice a Gardnerian tradition, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so there's probably some things within that where, you know, there's house wardings. You probably set some things up to your gods and goddesses. And while Wicca is agricultural, it's agricultural and cyclical, which is agriculture cycles do affect cities too, but it is not necessarily animistic in its approach. And I found that for every magical practice to be effective, you have to kind of bring in animism, even if it is just sort of imaginary animism.
Okay.
So when you moved in, did you talk to your house itself? Did you talk to the land spirits? Okay. So there's a few things you can do. Because again, like, you know, in my opinion, all spirituality is in some way nature spirituality. We just have to expand nature to go off planet and realize that everything around us is just stuff we've reshaped. So if you talk to your house and the spirits that are already in it, if you talk, and this is something where I know my business partner says, she phrases it as I get a little aggro about it, but there is a massive difference between the genius loci, the land spirit, and the city spirit. They are two completely separate entities. Sometimes they get along, sometimes they don't. You need to talk to both. You need to talk to the land spirit, you need to talk to the city spirit, and they're both going to work with you differently.
Yeah. Okay.
And so, and
because the sitting spirit I am in touch with, the land spirit, I, okay, so I've not done my due diligence, apparently, and that's why I'm not feeling settled in. Okay.
Yeah, you need to ground. And this is a problem I had when I first moved to San Francisco, partly because when I moved here, the plan was to move to San Francisco, but my ex and I were spending some time in San Jose in corporate housing. So one of the first things I do, there's one offering note that is absolutely universal anywhere in the world you go, and that is water.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use it for any spirit possible. Offering water always works because it is the most universal substance in this universe.
Okay.
And so all you need to do is, you know, and you don't need to know the name. You know, if you like when Brownie pointed you on the indigenous names, but these spirits were here before indigenous people were here. So they don't really care that much.
Okay.
But, you know, not the city spirits, that's different. But
mm-hmm.
if you pour out some water and just say, you know, to the land spirit, you know, here's what I'm, you know, here's what I'm going to be doing. Here's what I'm going to be bringing to the city spirit. Here's what I'm going to be doing. Here's what I'm going to be bringing. And, you know, you don't necessarily have to do that with things in your building, but like most, there is a belief in some traditions that, you know, every house, apartment, dwelling has a spirit of its own, and it can like you or not like you. And if you come in with a cooperative attitude, everything's going to go better for you.
Okay.
That's great.
So,
okay.
Yeah. This is all about, deep down, this is all just about relationships and bringing your neighbor some cookies in some way.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Okay. Wow. That's a relief because it's, you know, where I am right now is, talk about the city spirits. Yeah, it is totally different because where we are right now, we had a festival down the street last week. They're raising money to do more artwork. Like art, I noticed in the book, is very important to the city spirits. And it's really beautiful here. And I've always wanted to live where I live right now. I used to live here before it was fabulous. Now it's fabulous, and now I live here. And it's like almost like I have this feeling that I'm afraid someone's going to come and take it away or I don't deserve it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, some of that might be a little bit of shadow work, which is a whole separate conversation.
Right. True.
And I've been doing empath training, which is a whole separate thing I've been doing. But when it comes to that one, and your shadow stuff can affect where you live, and sometimes your shadows, if they're not addressed, can create spirits that work against you. Sit down, and if it helps the short term, this is not a solution to the long term healing that kind of thing will need. But mm-hmm. the short term solution is to talk to the land spirit, talk to the city spirit, whatever way you receive information, ask it to answer you in that language.
Okay.
And I have a story about that that's inadvertently hilarious. But
Good.
When you ask, because everyone perceives information in a different way. You know, I am extremely psychic to the point where I sometimes have to be reminded that other people can't see who I'm having an argument with. This isn't true for everyone. So for a lot of people, and there was a point in my life where I wasn't psychic, and I remember that because things would ping me, but they weren't able to contact me as well. And
yeah.
It comes down to the way you learn. It comes down to the way you process information. Some people do better visually. Some people do auditory. My business partner is extremely clairaudient, which she starts laughing out of nowhere, and I wonder what's being said. But, you know, some people... Yeah, like Evo Dominguez Jr.'s book, Keys to Perception, talks about the different clairs and clairaudience, clairsentience, all of this stuff. And these are good things to know when you're doing this kind of work.
Yeah.
So you might just know something. So my story about this one is because I was going through a phase where I was having a coworker who was causing me a lot of problems. And
mm-hmm.
It came up that the best spirit for me to work with was Black Hawk. And I'm mixed white, but I'm a white woman, and I wasn't sure how Black Hawk would feel about working with me. So I got out the corrugated bucket and the picture, and I just lit it, sat down, had a talk, saying, "Look, you might not want to work with me, and that's okay. If you do want to work with me, please let me know. But I'll tell you, I am extremely dense. You're gonna have to make it really obvious."
Yeah.
So the next day, Yeah. So I was there, and San Francisco has these beautiful walking trails out at the out in the western edge, like the center. You might starve for greenery towards the center of the city or towards the east side, but the west side is there. Even though a lot of people cemented things over during the drought, not knowing that was going to make the drought worse over in the last 7 years, there's still like Golden Gate Park is 10% of the city. There's Ocean Beach, which is huge and kept very wild. And so I was out on that trail with my business partner walking her dog, and we went back to her van to get something for the dog, and we turned her back for a minute, turned back around, and there was this entire arc of blackbirds just in an arc around the van looking at us.
Oh, wow.
There's your son.
And they proceeded to hop into formation. So I saw an Indian pipe, a lightning bolt,
wow,
and a bow. And she saw it too. And she's very scientific method. She's very skeptical. She likes to go through all the rational explanations. Also,
yeah,
she hates birds.
Oh, shit.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And this is not a good moment for her. And I'm looking at this going, well, I did tell him I was dense.
Wow. See, I'm dense. See, I feel like I'm dense. And, you know, not that I ever ask spirits or gods to hit me over the head with a 2x4, although sometimes apparently that has to happen. But, yes, I am going to take that approach because I want it to be super duper clear, you know, who I'm supposed to be contacting and the appropriate method by which to do it. So I think that's really a good approach. You know, humility is, I find humility in all things beneficial because I'm forgiven when I fuck up, quite honestly. If you approach it with that sense of, listen, I don't know what I'm doing, so please guide me so that I do it correctly. And I just find that works a whole lot better than making assumptions that I know what the hell I'm doing. So,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Especially the more I've been doing this work, the more I've been having to leave behind ways I've been told that it's the right way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Especially because I work so directly with spirits now, and they have completely different ideas from what we do. And I know, especially working with the city spirit, there's a lot of boundary setting going on.
Yeah.
Of course, my city spirit's a complete diva, and I'm its priestess, so there's some child rearing involved from time to time.
Oh, my gosh. See, like, you know, I generally do a walk in the neighborhood every single week, sometimes twice a week. Like, everything I need is a half a mile from my house. I don't have to take my car, which I'm extremely grateful for. And there are certain streets that I get a definite message of, do not go down this street. Go down this street, and it changes at certain times. And I'm really, you know, I have learned that my ego is bullshit, and I just better. It's kind of like do what you're told when you're told to do it, and everything will be fine. It's not that I'm abdicating my life of responsibility, but when you get a message like that, you really should think twice before deciding not to do it, because you are being gently instructed, and the instructions can come harshly if necessary, and I try not to encourage, obviously. But, you know, the artwork and city find they're really appreciative, and, you know, the thing do these cities, you know, these street fairs, this, mm-hmm. you know, historic neighborhood, and they do mural, which is really exciting. I've seen this work, and I'm like, but they've done things like they paint the power boxes with scenes of, like, and, you know, flora, and it's so cool. Feel the energy.
Yes.
So it's sorry, sis. My sister says I'm breaking up, so move.
Yeah.
On.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I don't know if it was just on my part, but yeah, you were breaking up a little bit.
Yeah, I'm hearing it too. And I'm following, but.
Sorry. Is this better?
Yeah.
Hello.
Awesome.
Testy.
There she is.
Testies 1-2. Okay, so what I was, my apologies. So what I was saying was, you know, they're doing this mural. It's going to be beautiful. They paint the power boxes with scenes of dogs and, you know, flowers and trees. And it's got such a warm vibe when I'm outside of the apartment, and my apartment's phenomenal, so I really need to do what
it really
you said. Yeah, I mean, I want so badly to settle down and enjoy it and say, yes, I live here. I'm grateful because I wanted to live here for so long. So yes, thank you, land spirits, definitely, because I know the city spirit is, you know, just kind of waiting for me to settle down, but it's been very kind and very guiding. But so I guess part of the responsibility of like living in an apartment dwelling in the city is taking care of your neighbors. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, and this one can be tricky, especially since privacy and boundaries matter. But
yeah.
Part of it is doing, and again, there's a huge piece of this work that I talk about a little bit in the earlier chapters, and there's a lot of things you're bringing up that I kind of want to like pause and say, let's talk about this, because with the way I practice spirituality, the psychological underpinnings are so important. You're expressing so many of them right now, especially around ego and humility, around listening to spirits and letting them guide you, but also sometimes you still have to set boundaries with spirits, no matter how powerful they are. And also this other stuff about, you know, finding that feeling of being settled, finding that feeling of how you belong, finding that feeling of fate of your neighbors. And part of this, when it comes to taking care of the neighbors, one, you can't take care of anyone any more than they want to be. That's always going to be a thing. But it is getting over the fear of the stranger that is so important to do right now. And especially in cities, because, and this is something that San Francisco is really struggling with, even though it has always been a sanctuary city and very welcoming. This is the place that has always been the sanctuary of the queer and the afraid and the creative, and that's been kind of destroyed by Silicon Valley. But
yeah,
there's still more people here that came before Silicon Valley became its own particular unique spirit and problem. That still remember how it was when it was, we're all strangers here, and that means we all know each other. And so bringing that attitude into other cities where a lot of us shy away from what is different. So when I lived in Minneapolis, and I loved Minneapolis, you know, if the city spirit there hadn't told me, no, you can't come back, I'd probably be trying to right now. But Minneapolis has a really large Muslim population. And I have spent a lot more time than most Western people immersed in Islam and the way it's really lived. And pagans, especially because we've got our own damage about various abusive monotheists that we've been involved with. A lot of people are still pagan because of that without recognizing that spiritual abuse is spiritual abuse and the belief that is just the packaging. And Islam, especially a lot of Muslim cultures, are very good about supporting everybody. And so, but when we see these people, those of us that are Western, we have all this stuff in our head about how feminism is supposed to look, how, you know, how everything is supposed to look. And we have this idea that we, and we were literally, a lot of us, like those of us that are Gen Xers, were taught in school that, you know, our way is not oppression and their way is. Well, it's not that simple. And we have these superstitious reactions to these people that dress different from us and look different from us, and to the point where we will sometimes shun people and shut them out based on what we think they believe instead of what we actually know about them.
Yeah, very true.
There is nothing more powerful or more simple than just making a point of making eye contact with your neighbor if they're the kind that can handle eye contact. And saying hello. And, you know, I live in a building with a lot of Muslim neighbors, and there's a few of them that told me they liked me better than the other ones because I, yeah, we knew we were different. They didn't approve of things I did. I didn't approve of things they did, but I remembered that they were in this world with me and they recognized and appreciated that. Also, when that's you make awesome. Friends with people from other cultures, you get better food. It's just a thing.
It is.
Oh,
totally.
Yeah.
And really so, I'm lucky in that regard because all of my neighbors, like there's three separate buildings, but there's only three apartments on each floor in my building, and there's only two floors. And I am friends with everyone in my row and everybody in the top row too, actually. So my building, we're all, like, I just met my new neighbor today, one of my brand new neighbors, and everybody is so friendly here, and we all get along, and we're all from somewhere else, and it's a beautiful thing. So I kind of think that they'll actually accept what I do.
There's a good chance. I am very spoiled with being in San Francisco in that there's, you know, you can't throw a rock with it and not hit some kind of witch.
Right.
But I'm more likely to like come across another witch who, you know, they're not happy that I'm not all love and light. I'm love, light, and shadow. Or, you know, I've been working on my Spanish because I've been making friends with the Babalo that runs the botanic I visit the most.
Nice.
You know,
oh, nice.
And again, it's a point of making that effort. It's good for your brain to learn another language anyway. And also when you make that effort, you get better service. You get people that like you more. It helps.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because you want to integrate, you know, you want your society to be a homogenous thing. And in order to make it homogenous, those with the most power really need to extend the hand of friendship and make efforts. I mean, it's important to make efforts to make people feel welcome around you.
Yeah.
You know. So I totally agree. I was actually talking to one of my bosses about learning Spanish. I'm like, you know, we're in a city where there are a lot of people who own businesses that we are not reaching because we're just being our white selves here, and I think we need to stop that. So I'm getting a lot of pushback, and it's really hard sometimes. But I think the more people I talk to in the company, the more people are starting to come around to, hey, you know what? Everybody's money is green. You know, they may not be coming at it from my position, but if I can get folks to kind of, whatever your position you're coming at it from, it's for the greater good. So I'm hoping that I'm changing enough minds to get it actually enacted where they'll, you know, be willing to pay for us to go have lessons and interact more with the local community.
Yeah. Yeah, and making effort on your own is always good too. And, you know, coming back to the piece you said about humility, part of that is the humility to recognize that your assumptions have to change.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of things, there may be beliefs that served you at one point, and those beliefs will have to change. And being willing to recognize that and go, okay, you used to serve me, and now I need to let you go and bring in this new way of functioning, and this is going to happen throughout our lives.
Yeah,
you know, and the more flexible we are with that, the less strain it is.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that, too. You know, and it's funny because sometimes things shift and you don't even realize that you're changing, too. And you go to reach for the things that are very comfortable and they're not things that serve you anymore. And as you get older, it changes. And as your location changes, it changes as well. You know, there are different needs for different lands. There are different ways of being in a city as opposed to being in the country, so to speak. You know,
I find,
you know, I'm a lot more on guard because I'm from New York City. So it's like, you know, there's different ways you react to being in a city. You're hyper aware, especially if you're female. You're doubly hyper aware. And, you know, for a very long time, I did not live in a city. And it's interesting how some things will trigger back when you do move back to a city. And some old ways of thinking have to change because, you know, I'm not young and cute anymore. So it's like certain things I used to worry about, I don't have to worry about You know what I mean? It's like, keep your eyes forward, keep your feet moving, appreciate what's going on around you. Like I said, the city spirits, I never thought about that before. So this has been really, you know, your book is really fortunate for me right now. But I think it's a great thing for anybody who interacts with the city to pay attention to and to read about. Because even if you don't live in the city proper, if you work in a city, you know, you still interact with these spirits. And there are ways to make life easier, is what I'm understanding from what you're writing.
Yes. And it's also having an appreciation. So one of the reasons, there's a few people that were not understanding what urban design and architecture had to do with urban magic. And after a head bucket cold water moment, one of the things I want to point out is that it's, first of all, there's the building spirit, because how do you know you're in a city? The first indicator visually usually is traffic and buildings. And those buildings are constructed as basically energetic machines, and those are things you can tap into. But it is also, and especially why urban design and the Garden City movement, which was in the United States, it was very racial in its origin. It was to take white people out of the city. And so that's one of the reasons why when I talk about urban magic, I talk about this book. It is a subvert book. It is a book. It is a subvert guide to rewriting power structures once you start doing this work. And because it is based on who is in the city, because that's a power generator. And when people, and with the Garden City movement, it was those with privilege could leave, those without had to stay and deal with it. And that is the core of every city spirit in North America. It is not necessarily true in other continents, because those cities are a lot older, and some of those city spirits and gods that we worship, Athena is a city spirit, but she is also an independent god. It functions differently. And that core is who was there and who had to deal with it at its worst and at its best. And so connecting to that core, that's one of the reasons Charlotte's super happy right now. I can pick up on that. And but it's also really hasn't forgotten who it was. One of the challenges of the city spirit in San Francisco is it goes through rapid 20-year cycle identity shifts. Charlotte doesn't quite have that, because you've got the foundation of the culture of the South, you've got the foundation of its own history, dark and light, and you've got the foundation of how people are transmuting that energy through art now.
Definitely. But, you know, and talk a little bit about what happens during gentrification. That's a big one, right? I know.
Basically, a bunch of people that are there when the city's at its worst work their ass off, make it better, and end up being the ones that get kicked out of the city for the people that want to take advantage of their work. That is what happens. And unless people have the consciousness to put some protections in place, and in my opinion, there are things that artists could do, but artists would have to change the way they think about 50% of their lives to do it. Because unfortunately, when humanity invented economy and money, they also invented poverty right with it. And before that, you know, artists could live in the temples and create and be creative and use that energy. And now when they create, if they are not being in some way, if that, I'm really big on energy exchange in any way possible, because they're putting out that work, and if there isn't energy that flows in back to them, they end up getting moved out. And it's not just artists, it's other people that do that kind of legwork. And so they literally have to, spiritual people literally have to start rethinking our own relationship with money, because unfortunately we saw what happened with communism, and when that fell, no one knew what the hell to do. If this falls, no one will know what the hell to do. And although I am a little bit of an anarchist left to my own devices, I can see how that's not going to work. And so, again, it's one of those where when it comes to the way we think about what we fund and what we preserve, we have to basically break the boxes that we're using right now. And that's one of the things with gentrification, is because we haven't broken the box, it's that you know, flow in and flow out. It, you know, in some ways it goes back to the ancient cities, and, you know, one city would build itself up, do a fantastic job, and then invaders would come in and they'd have a whole other population set of problems. Because, oh, hey, thanks for the work you did. Bye. It can be a little bloody, but it's the same effect, really.
And, you know, the vibe I get, because a lot of Charlotte has gone through gentrification, still going through gentrification. You know, you can feel the anger.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not just the people that are angry, because my old neighborhood, all of the houses, the, you know, the family owned pieces of property, they have been leveled. I mean, leveled.
Yeah.
We went past our old street this morning and all of the houses are gone like they were never there. And yes, some of them were run down and some of them were HUD properties and this, that, and the other thing. And I turned to my husband and I'm like, what happened to the people? Where did the people go? What happened to these people? This is awful. And I just was so sad. I mean, this wave of sad just washed over me, because it's like, you know, what did they do to the people? It just really upset me.
Yeah. Where did they go?
Well, and what's happening now is that as cities gentrify, so what was happening around the 50s and 60s is that the wealthy would start moving out of the cities. That was the Garden City movement. And of course, what gentrification works is they roll back in, and then the people that they displaced go to the places that they were living. So those with less money end up in the suburbs or spread out or move to less populated cities.
And the problem with that is when you move out of this, when you're forced to move out of a city, you are losing access to jobs, you're losing access to health care, you're losing access to a lot of the things that people who live in the city take for granted. And I don't know what to do about that, as far as like, what can you do to help these people and appease the spirits who are kind of pissed off, is what I was getting when we were passing by it. And it's like, you know, the land is not thrilled with what has happened here.
Right. And, you know, not all of us can summon a natural disaster to fix everything. And those are really hard to target properly. So.
That's true.
So, you know, and this is why, you know how I talked in the book, I talked about the four different paths that I can recognize right now. You know, there is the heart of home where you're just worried about your own fortress, and that's okay. There is the civic path, there is the chaos path, and there is the priesthood path. Now, the bigger stuff tends to follow as priests, and it is still not something where there are sweeping solutions, but the civic path, where you kind of come in and start going to those boring city council meetings or forming neighborhood groups or going, okay, So one of the most common financial distribution mistakes that I see people making is when they do have a little extra money. You know, we, like a bunch of us, get like 10,000 different worthy causes solicitations in our lives. Like, you know, there's 10 different diseases, 10 different arts charities, you know, various things. Domestic violence things are one of the ones that always gets my attention. But everything, there's so many legitimate things have a need. The problem is, if you give a little help to each one, you are losing resources you might need to shore up for yourself, and, you know, teaching artists and other people to put themselves first in a very different way is a huge part of this. Altruism can sometimes be quite poisonous. The second one is, it is okay to give to those needs, but you need to pick the top 3 to 5 that are meaningful to you and do nothing else.
Okay.
Because what will happen is your money and your efforts will accrue towards an actual resolution in that area. But when you're spreading it out, you're kind of spreading it out. It is about...
It's not impactful. It's not impactful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like when I talk about when I do empath trainings, one of the things I do is have the those that identify as energetic empaths, like I call myself to myself, because of course they're taking on all the pain on all this other stuff, and it is the same way on an economic level. You call it, call it back to yourself, and then look at the areas, serve the things that serve you, which is really hard for some people to understand, is, you know, if you feel selfish donating to X charity, that's exactly the charity you need to be donating to.
Okay.
Because that is the thing that is going to make the difference that is important to you.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense. So let me ask you, my sister is moving out of the city.
Okay.
And what should she do to, is there something specific she should do that will be beneficial for the land she's leaving? And what should she do in preparation for the land she is moving to?
Okay, so that's a good conversation we'll practically have. So given that she's moving from one place to another, my suggestion would be to talk to the land spirit that she's leaving and let it know that it's time to go. And to, you know, however that is. And, you know, for me, you know, just plant your butt in the ground and just have a talk. You know,
there
just
you
talk about, plant your butt in the ground and just have a talk. And this is what's going on. If there's something you'd like me to do before I leave, like what I did from Minneapolis before I left is about the time I left Minneapolis there. And again, I tend to do really complicated, unnecessary things because I am me, but the Super Bowl was going to be happening within a couple of years of my leaving. And during the time I was there, child sex trafficking had peaked. And this is one of the things that I care about a great deal. And I was recognizing that the different agencies were not talking to each other, and that unless they were, and none of them, because Minnesota culture, you know, even if you've lived right next to the door to a person for 50 years, they're still a stranger. So unless you give them a hard look, they're not going to talk to each other. So I sat down and I wrote an email, and I put down, and I looked for every agency that could possibly do something to cooperate. And I wrote and I sent out this letter to them with, hi, this is a thing that's happening. This is a problem you're having. These are some issues that are making things worse, like charging these girls with crimes when they're the victims.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's a group, you know, here's the contact list and the names of the people you need to be talking to. And here, I'm CCing all of you. Bye.
Wow.
And
awesome.
Within a year, there was a plan for it. There had been law changes, so these girls were not getting charged anymore. It was decriminalized, because being a victim of sex trafficking should be decriminalized for the love of Christ. And, you know, I kind of stood back and went, good, they're talking. I did my part. And that was the gift I gave to Minneapolis when I left.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So
what do you want to do? You want to ask anything, sis, about that? As long as we're still on this topic.
No. I mean, like, okay. I don't follow a single path. I do have like a plan from Dorothy. I think it's 4 railroad spikes that I'm going to bless the house. You know, move any negative energy outward. You know, out of the property. But are there like specific like offerings that I can offer? I mean, I've taken the water you said, and that's going in there.
Right. So do you know anything about the history of your property or the history of the land that you're on?
Not yet.
Okay, a lot of that can be public data, and when in doubt, like every library, every city ever that I know of has a section that is specific to the history of that place.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they are little temples of knowledge. We just need to value them more. Libraries are also one of my – libraries are one of the places that I donate to. It really makes a difference if you know how to use it.
I love libraries.
Yes. I've been told I'm not allowed to sleep in them, and I try anyway sometimes, even though I do have other places to sleep. But so find out what you can. can about the property, and I'm sure you've already been on the property, and the railroad strikes is a good thing.
Yeah.
That's fairly effective, and I'm sure adding certain biological things will make it more effective. I've done that. And mm-hmm. get a feel for the land, get a feel for any nature spirits that live on there. And is this going to be in an urban space, or is this going to be in suburban, rural, like, where on the scale is it?
It's actually partway between urban and suburban. I mean, the section that
okay.
we live in is more suburban, but
okay.
we're like a hop, skip, and a jump from the lake, and a hop, skip, and a
okay.
jump from, like, downtown.
Okay, so a couple of things is you probably do want to find out what's going on with that spirit and find out if you're friendly. And because you are in, you're kind of in a traffic zone. So it's sort of like that entire, if it's one of those suburbs that's a satellite, a lot of suburbs
yeah.
kind of operate as large crossroads. So
oh,
when you come to the planet spirit and building spirit, it's a good idea to kind of talk about what traffic you want to allow through. Or not.
Okay. That's, yeah. No, that's good. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
Diana,
so,
is there anything specific for a cul-de-sac? Because she's moving into a cul-de-sac specifically.
Oh, cul-de-sacs are awesome. They're super easy to protect.
Oh, really?
So because it's an endpoint, a lot of traffic doesn't go down there. So it's a place where you can gather energy. So if
okay.
you name the type of energy you want to be collecting, whether that's health and prosperity are good ones, or comfort or quiet, because cul-de-sacs tend to have lower crime rates in general than other types of street configurations.
Yeah.
And so
yeah, I live on the opposite of that right now. I live
yeah.
on a corner.
Yeah, which is very different, and there's a lot of traffic
yeah.
going through. But if you like went down, threw down a dime and said, could you close the damn roads and stuff would slow down?
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't even need to be a Mercury dime. Yeah, doesn't even need to be a Mercury dime. Just throw them a dime or a little bit of rum and they usually calm down pretty quick.
Really?
Well, also things tend to do what I ask them because I'm grumpy, but yes, usually. So, but yeah, that will slow things down. And if you name it, or you know, if you're moving away, you probably don't want to build a huge relationship, but something of, hey, I recognize you, and you know, could you do me a favor for X amount of time? And just approach everything like it's a neighbor.
Okay.
You know, not just physically, but spiritually too. You know, we call the fairies the good neighbors. Sometimes I have mixed feelings about that, but for the most part, and I do a lot of fae work. I work with fairies, demons, angels. I work with everybody that comes because that is part of what the priestess gig is. And
even
the things you fear most, if you approach them first like they're a neighbor, it makes a big difference.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I don't know if I did that with this house because this house is always the one I'm currently in. It's got a lot of chaotic energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, just portals that I've tried to keep closed, and it's just exhausting.
Okay.
You know,
Am
I where what?
Are you near a ley line?
There's actually a creek that runs behind our house. So
okay.
I don't know.
Okay, so creeks and rivers tend to be, and I know you work with Dorothy Morrison. She can probably tell you this with probably better information than I have. But creeks and rivers tend to be places of transit. And so, you want something out of your life, you send it down the river. Well, if the things you sent down the river are passing your house, some of them might try to climb out up in the banks.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, I've had a few of those.
Yeah, and again, you know, river, you know, the ocean front, the rivers, the exception to this are lakes and mud puddles. but bodies of water large enough to use a significant transit, you have to treat them like a crossroads.
Okay.
And so it may be a matter of going down and talking to the spirit of the creek and to any nature or fae that's around there. And maybe, you know, there could be some other things that hang out and saying, hey, could you shut this down for a little bit?
Yeah. You know, especially next week while we're finishing up packing and moving.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be very helpful.
Yeah, you know,
and it can
do
that.
Yeah, just like, and it could be simple as like bringing some cookies and just, you know, this is all I'm asking. I'm just asking you to, you know, take a week off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Take a week off. Yeah, take a week off or like put up some fencing. You know, and if they don't cooperate, this is when you go get the iron powder.
Yeah.
It's good to have a nuclear option in the background, but usually asking nicely first makes a big difference.
Yeah. Well, and I don't want to, you know, get rid of them entirely, but yeah, maybe a little less mischief making would be good.
Yeah, I'm never amused when somebody opens up a portal in my house because, bitch, it's my house.
Exactly.
So,
it's
right.
Like,
yeah.
dude, no, you can't be in here, you know? There was, I've successfully, like, you know, just kind of waited them out. Most of them have, you know, come and gone on their own, but
yeah,
there's been a couple I've had to, like, force out. And, I don't know, there was a woman that used to camp out in my office, and it was funny because my husband never believed me. He's, you know, he's not a pagan. He's
mm-hmm.
agnostic. But he was
mm-hmm.
home during the day one day, and, you know, there she goes moving around in the office. And I just kind of looked up and whatever. And he's like, what was that? Yeah, and I said, that's the lady that's in the office right now. For some reason, she's camping out there. And he's like, does that happen all the time? I'm like, just about every day.
Okay, and so a couple things. If you don't want her there, and I'm assuming that you tried to talk to her and she just didn't answer.
Yeah,
so again,
no, she just ignored me.
Yeah. So a couple things you can do that can slow that stuff down, especially like working with the dead is something I'm probably a little too good at. One, if you, about once a month, you anoint your walls with whiskey, even though alcohol is complicated because it can lower inhibitions and let spirits move through you that you might not want to, but apply it externally, it can block spirit traffic. So the whiskey, like I will anoint my walls with a cross, like spirit of spirit, wall of block, that no spirit wandering or scent can cross. And just anoint the walls. I've known to just use a spray bottle. The other thing is, if you can get yourself hands on some camphor chips, most ghosts cannot stand being around camphor because it evaporates whatever it is going to be here too. Whatever your pets can't get at it, but it does make a difference. And it will slow down bugs, which is nice too.
Yes.
Okay, cool. I like that.
So that should put a stop to at least some of that. It may come down to if there's a specific death deity in your tradition. If that keeps happening, it may be worth talking to them, saying, hey, do we need to send someone to collect over here or what's going on? So,
yeah.
The most
why
effective
are these people
banishing,
bugging me?
Yeah, the most effective banishing I ever did is there was something that was trying to scare me around my dishes. So I told it if it was going to do that, it damn well better wash them and do that.
Excuse me.
I did not think about the camphor chips. That's a great idea. I've written. I'm busy writing all these things down.
so yeah, a spray bottle sounds good. Yeah, and can be good for other applications depending on what's going on in your life, but. Also, for what it's worth, I'm working on another book for Llewellyn right now that I'm not sure when it will be coming out exactly. I'm in the final stages of finishing it off and sending it off on counter magic and hex twisting. And I do talk about some of this, and there will be charts and graphs and things I've used and figured out and things that will be handy for ghost management, among other things. Because I do, like, there is a chapter that right now the title is When Spirits Are Jerks.
Ah. Okay. I like it.
Appointment
so what
to
is
have
your
you
advice?
I'm sorry, I missed the last
jerks.
Part. Love it. It's a great title. You come back on for that, Diana. We station. Oh my gosh. Ooh. Oh boy. And we are down to 8 minutes. Do you have anything you want to promote or anything we did not touch on?
I think that you touched on a lot of good stuff. I really appreciate that you read the book. And I do want to point out there's a lot of stuff out there that is labeled urban magic that, in my opinion, it's more being a witch in modern life than it is necessarily urban. I am talking very specifically in this book about working with urban energy. And Christopher Penzack touched on that, Raven Caldera, and I cannot remember the co-author's name, and I feel terrible about that, but that person also touched on that, too, in a very different way.
Uh-huh.
And what I'm looking at, but what I'm looking at is very different from what those writers did, and it is very different from the stuff in Instagram, where it's more about dealing with modern life. And yeah, crystals and so on, those are important, but urban witchcraft, the way I practice it, is you're not going to want to be moving around the city with a whole bunch of rocks in your pocket. You know, I'm like going out with boots up to my knees with things I can see in the boots if I need them. And sometimes they're weapons because sometimes stuff with spirits get weird to you with what I do. And just and a multi-pocket jacket where I've got cascaria chalk and stuff for offerings. And you can do temporary altars with the chalk. But this is not stationary witchcraft. This is not sit and meditate witchcraft. This is get up and move witchcraft.
Yeah, I mean, the book has there's very specific things. Use mass transit. I mean, you have to, this is really active. This is not a passive instruction guide. This is more like there are things you should be doing when you are in the city. And for that reason alone, plus there are spells in it. Did I say there were spells? There are spells, very specific spells for being in a city and working with spirits and protecting yourself and protecting where you live and, refreshing yourself. And, it's really unlike anything I've read previously that deals with quote-unquote urban magic. This is a really useful book, and it's really useful not just for people who live in a city, but people who work in a city, people who visit a city. It's really great. If you don't live in the city, it doesn't mean you don't need to know this information, because a lot of it is applicable. We've been talking about what happens when you move from a non-urban area to an urban area, and vice versa. I moved deeper into the city, and my sister is moving further out from the city, quote unquote, the main city of Charlotte. So it's really beautiful, and I highly recommend it. It's very important to know, not just the spirits that you deal with in whatever your practice is, but you have to realize that there are spirits that you've not been connected to before, and it's important to make those relationships and make the appropriate offerings and requests, and to look beyond yourself, obviously, because when you move into a more urban area, there are more people and more spirits.
Yeah.
And emigration is not just for humans.
True.
And
that's very true. It's interesting because the last place I lived, there were, 3 places ago, I should say, there was a spirit that used to knock on my front door, and it would knock on my front door several times a day. People would come to visit. I mean, after a while, the rest of the family was like, it's just mom's ghost, whatever. But people would come to visit, and they'd be like, somebody's at the door. I'm like, nah, it's fine. They're just hanging. Not a problem. Don't worry about it. And then it started happening to the next place I lived, and I was like, don't worry about it. And now I think there's that spirit that just kind of hangs wherever I go, but I think they've brought a friend, and nothing bad has happened. I mean, we're totally fine, but sometimes, they tell 2 friends and so on and so on and so on, and in an urban situation, you're more open to more possibilities in that regard. is what I'm finding. So this book is
different. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and I never thought about it until now. So I have to say, I am really grateful to you for coming on with us, because we're like down to 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Did I miss anything?
It was like crazy fast.
that was insanely quick. And I really hope you'll come back on, because we need to talk about your upcoming book.
I will be excited to talk about it. I am in the beta edit phase now, and there is more swearing with that book. That will be fun for you.
Awesome.
So also my official release date. So I know a lot of people have already gotten their copies, but my official release date for Urban Magic is tomorrow. So for people that ordered electronic copies, that should be dropping tomorrow. And, you know, of course, please, please, please buy my book. This is the way I can travel and go do things and teach workshops where you're going. And I do have another project upcoming. When I was at Convocation a couple weekends ago, I started doing empath training to help energetic empaths manage their stuff better. They originally asked me to do a program. I thought I was going to end up dropping Convocations from my schedule. I ended up there with a wall-to-wall people.
Nice.
Wow. Program. And so this is going to be something that I am developing too. So if you watch my Facebook authors page, my website's kind of a disaster, sorry. And also I do consultations by phone and in person. I am a psychic life coach out of San Francisco and Berkeley. So, you know, if someone wants a one-on-one session, hit me up. I'm available.
That's awesome.
Perfect.
Dan and Rachel, I love you to death. I really appreciate you. And we are going to have you back on for your next book. We really appreciate it. This has been a very insightful hour. If you're moving or you're thinking of moving, I can't recommend this book highly enough. It's really fantastic, and it's full of fantastic information. And it will guide you on, you know, how to do it the right way. Because the energy from one place to the next and the spirits, they do change. And different requirements are made. So, Diana, thank you again. Have a wonderful afternoon. And thanks again for being on.
All right. Thank you for having
you.
Me. This was a lot of fun. All right.
All
have
right.
A good one.
Talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye. Thank you again.
All right, sis.
All right, sis. You ready?
Go on, mama.
All right. All right. I hope you all have a great weekend. It's, you know, just getting started. Go out, have a safe Saturday night, or stay in and cuddle with your loved ones and watch some Netflix, watch some witchy movies. But we will be back next Friday. And we love you guys. Bye.
Bye, everybody.